This is amazing, is it? I'm going to stop you there, okay? This table. Okay, I want to hear the headline, the simplicity, the other side of complexity. So you thought through all of these things. Now I want a simple summary. Gordon, we work with... Tell me, what do you do? You've got 15 seconds to grab my attention. We work
I work with hospital consultants and GP practice owners in Tayside, Fife and the Lothians.
And what's the next question?
So, have issues?
Yeah.
You have little time to fulfil their life, true life goals.
Did you get that? Okay, could you nice and loud for Ian?
Who have little time to fulfil their true life goals.
Okay, little time. Okay, what kind of problem is that? What kind of person is he appealing to? Little time to achieve.
Busy
people.
Successful.
Okay, is he helping them move away from something or towards something? Away from having too little time, okay, to achieve their successful life goals. Great. Carry on, Gordon.
We help them identify and fulfil their life goals.
Okay.
A good example is Dr. E.M., clinical director, fed up of being called out at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, now spends his time in France doing antique toy fairs.
Very good. What kind of person is that example talking to? Fed up of being called out at 2 a.m. in the morning. What's he, a love person, a success person? Yeah, he's losing control of his life. He does not like this, because I don't like being out of control. Therefore, you're appealing to that part of me which might suggest I lean to... So he's just appealing to something. The worst thing is appealing to nothing and not being conscious that you could appeal to one of these or more. He's just trying to appeal to one of them. Okay, because he's conscious that that's what he could do. Okay, over here, somebody give me, take me right the way through. This is, hey, we haven't even started talking about the rest of your product yet. This is just the headline. It's taken us 2.5 hours to get to your headline. This is the simplicity, the other side of complexity. I would give you nothing for the simple things you say to me, this side of complexity, but I will give you my right arm, says the client, if you can get me to simplicity, the other side of complexity. Now all these things that we've talked about in the last 2.5 hours and get them into a simple crisp statement, I'd give my right arm for that, and a very high fee indeed. And the reason why you're struggling is because this industry doesn't get it. And if you could just crack this, you would be in the top 5% of this profession in terms of what your value is to the client. Not in terms of what your professional skills are, but in terms of what your professional skills are in the client's life. You'd be right up there with the very best. It's the thinking that's hard. Who here works really, really hard? I mean, really, really hard. Okay, most of you work your guts out. It's not the doing that's the problem. You know how to do. You don't need me to teach you that. It's the thinking that's the problem. It's just not clear. And that's why the industry is where it is and why you could be way above it as professionals in your field. Come on, somebody in this team. John. Go on, John.
Dealing with clients between 55 and 65 within a 5-mile radius of the centre of Edinburgh, with clients who have £1 million of assets and have the ability to have £250,000 under influence.
Okay. now, okay.
It's quite a long headline, though.
Okay. Yeah. I want you to get through the first three steps of the headline in less than 20 seconds. The first three steps. We work with who have the following problems and we help them to do this. No more than 20 seconds. Go.
We look to work with people in Edinburgh area over the age of 55 who are looking to retire and to plan their future without their real income.
Okay, and what do we do? We help them to...
Sorry, I thought you
meant. Was that it?
You wanted the whole
thing. That's fine.
That's good.
That's good.
But to envision their future, find out where they want to go and how they're going to get there, measuring what they have now and helping them decide whether they can do what they want.
Okay, and in about the last 5 seconds you would have lost me. So imagine this is in writing, John, or verbally. Okay, you've got about 15 seconds to grab me by the throat, even if I'm reading. Because people don't read. What do people do?
It's taken me 2.5 hours to get that.
I know.
You're asking me to do it in 15 seconds.
That's right. And it's the genius, John, of the simplicity, the other side of complexity. That's where the hard work is. And where we started was where the rest of your peer group starts. Anybody can say the stuff we started with at 10 o'clock this morning. And that's why they don't get paid fees and certainly don't get paid high fees. But the genius who can take all that you've learned and in 15, 20 seconds communicate it in writing or verbally doesn't mean you have to, but when you can, you know you're getting close to cracking headline simplicity. Okay?
If you've got that answer in one sentence, it's amazing. I think it's one of the most difficult things. I mean, we've been looking at this now for 6-8 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm still finding one of the most difficult things I've ever done.
It is. And when you crack it, then you've earned the right to charge fees.
We've cut it down so much. No disrespect, but when you're talking about a whole market, successful people, you've got hundreds of, you know, and we're trying to cut it down. And
yeah.
Eventually you think you're cutting it down to something quite small, where even what I described in my long sentence still is a massive market.
Yes. It doesn't mean you can't say much more later on, but in the headline, yeah, you have to be able to think. You have to be able to think this crisply. Okay? The question isn't, what does your brochure look like? The question isn't, what are you going to put on the website? The question is, are you capable of this kind of thing? Are you capable of this? The three words we use? In all of your business, clarity, simplicity, and consistency is what's missing. That's what's missing. Clarity, simplicity, and consistency. And the genius who can go the other side of complexity and come out with simplicity that either client can get within seconds is the genius that wins.
Sorry, Dave, are you saying that really we should have a sentence for all these four categories in 15 seconds?
I'm just...
Then you can then, if they say, oh, fantastic...
Yeah.
And then you say, but our ideal clients really are in, you'll have them in there, you'll know this should be your ideal client.
You should have the capacity for that crispness of communication, that crispness of thinking.
Can I try and paraphrase what John was saying?
Go on.
Great.
I've written down here, we work with pre-retirees in Edinburgh who want to be in control of their money and their life.
Okay. Now take me through the way the questions are asking you to communicate it.
Our target market is pre-retirees in Edinburgh.
So this is who we work with. Who have this problem? Remember, problems are priority. Yeah. See, we work with this kind of person who have this kind of problem, and we help them to do this. Let me give you an example. We work with this kind of person who have this kind of problem. We help them to do this. Let me give you an example. All of those important. What was it Richard said to you about problems? Tell them again, Richard.
If you can articulate client problems better than they can, two things happen. One is you have their attention, two is they inherently assume that you have the answer to their problems.
So we're taking that and all the other stuff we learned and packing it into that crisp. That's the genius of simplicity. We work with this kind of person who have this kind of problem. You've got to be able to articulate the problem, okay, because it's worth a fortune to them. And this is how we help them, and here's an example. That's the kind of headline simplicity you need to be able to do in your head, in your business. Your staff need to be able to do it, your support team, your co-directors and co-partners, all of you need to be communicating, singing off that sheet. If you can't, then what will come out of your business is waffle. It will just come out as waffle.
So actually,
through it just to grab that. Now you've got me thinking even more. So we could say we work with pre-retirees in Edinburgh who are worried about their future plans. We help them gain control over their life and their money.
That's better, yeah. Do you begin to get... And it has a rhythm to it. Okay, has a rhythm to it. Do you begin to get this? You sure? I know we spent a long time on this, and we're going to cover it again in marketing, but this is the way you need to think to be able to charge high fees. Let's turn over to page 27. Okay, if I were you, what I would do is I would look at the template that you have beside you that looks like this, my product structure, and I would tick off the boxes you think we've done so far. And there should only be two. Okay? And already I'm tired, aren't you? You want to... You want everything, Charlotte. You want everything. Just because they've got it, you want it. Okay. Who's mentally feeling tired already? Yeah. It's just quite hard work. And, you know, there's no way we're going to get through 69 pages today. It's not relevant. It's relevant that you have the information back at the office, but it's relevant, what's most relevant, is that you know how to think. Know how to think. Okay. Full menu. I want you. I want you now to form teams. Okay, I've slightly crisped up the previous exercise. Okay. Spend 5 minutes reading this. A couple of minutes appointing directors. Okay. All right. Go. You're now teams. This is slightly different to the last one. A couple of figures you need to add to this. You need your pen. What are the two people's? Tarquin and
Jake.
Okay. Each of them draws a base salary of 35k. So each draws base salary of 35k per annum. And each expects 25k dividends this year. Okay, so they're not drawing huge amounts of money from business. Okay, appoint your directors. I'm going to give you no more than 10 minutes to scan pages 29 and 30 and develop your menu for Jake and Tarquin. Scan pages 29 and 30, just 29 and 30, sorry, 28 and 29, 28 and 20, hold on a second. Hold on, I apologise, 27 and 28. Scan 27 and 28 and work out a menu for Jake and Tarquin. 27 and 28 and work out a menu for Tarquin. 27 are the principles and 28 is an example. Catherine has raised an important point, which is you're assuming, this is not what she said, but this is what she meant, you're assuming we understand on page 27 what all the principles mean. So page 27 is the principles of how you do it. And page 28 is here as an example. And she said, she's basically communicating, David, I think you're assuming we understand what all these principles actually mean. And Catherine's been with me long enough, she can say that and know that you're probably right. I hate it when Kate's right, but she's always right. So let me just quickly explain the principles. The menu will simply say to the client, at some stage in the process, look, these are the things we do here. What often happens is, you don't tell them what you do. You think they know what you do, and they don't. So what I encourage people to do is list as much as you can of what you do, even the obvious stuff, that you think they know what you do, and they really don't. So list the obvious stuff first, which may be 20 different things that you do. Like, we take your shopping bag of policies, and we sort them out, and we shred some, and we put some into a file, and that's a service, and you just think they know that you do that, and they don't know that you do that. The next The next part is, in your services, try and suggest an outcome in the name. So if you're going to give headline names to each service, try and suggest some sort of outcome in the name of the service. Does that make sense? Try and do that. It's not always possible. Next principle is, never have more than a dozen to present to the client initially. You might have 40 things that you do, but don't kill them. You know, they can handle about 6 to 8 at the most, never more than a dozen. Don't use industry names like fat find. I've never heard a phrase so crass in all my life. It's just cheap. It cheapens you. It's like 25 years ago, the provider product salesman doing a fat find. Well, you're above all that. You know, you don't do fat finds. Think of unique names in the stages. Give each stage, give each service something unique about it that will stick in the mind of the client. Names mean a lot. Coca-Cola wasn't named Coca-Cola by accident. Okay? It has a certain kind of poetic rhythm to it. It's quite sophisticated. It wasn't an accident. They practiced that word over and over until they got the rhythm right. Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. And that rhythm is worth billions of pounds, dollars to Coca-Cola. It's not an accident. They designed that. So get the names unique. Use emotions in the service names. So if you give them a service, use some emotion in it. Make it interesting. And remember that however you think it's wonderful, it's only wonderful in the client's perception if you've named it and packaged it correctly. Does that make sense? So them's the guidelines. Just try using the examples, picking out maybe half a dozen services for Tarquin Jake. Steve, you're going to say something?
Yeah, just that. In the last email you said bring with you the menu of services that you offer.
Sorry?
In your last email you said bring along with you a menu of services.
Yeah, we're going to hand that around in a second. Yeah, we're going to play with that. We're going to play with that this afternoon. Yeah. In fact, that's interesting, Steve. I was going to play with that this afternoon. Who's brought their menu of services with them amongst Advisor Gym clients? Okay, why don't you share that with Jake and Tarquin and the mentoring team? Why don't you get those out now and share it with your team? Okay, I'm not saying use them, just saying share it, and that might spring some ideas, that might evoke some ideas. Okay, stop, we're going to carry this on later after lunch, but let's stop where we are. Let's hear what you've got so far. Go on in. Michael, your table, nice and loud. Okay, let's listen to Michael's set of services.
The professional service.
The professional service, okay.
That's providing strategic updates to your accountant and any other professional advisors.
All right.
Including supplying end of year taxation information. Okay. Suitable professionals.
Just give me the headlines for the moment, Michael, sorry.
The portfolio construction service.
Yeah.
The portfolio management service.
Yeah.
The remove the hassle service.
Yeah.
Second opinion service.
Okay. That'll do fine for now. This table. Okay. Now I would counsel you that, I mean, that's fine because it tells them what's on in the tin. Okay, which is great. But don't kill yourself on this when you get back to the office. But in the back of your mind, I'd always be thinking, how can I make this just a little bit more interesting and meaningful to the client? Because it's meaningful to me because I'm a professional. I know what this means. But how can I make it more meaningful to the client and appeal to their emotions as well as their intellect? How can I do that? Question. Go on.
The Royal Service.
The Royal Service. Remember, we're not segmenting right now. We're just menu services.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Kingly Service, the Knave Service.
Sorry, let me just stop you there. Can you hear? Okay, nice and loud.
The Royal Service.
Bellow at them, Kathleen. Catherine, sorry. The way you bellow at me. No. Start again.
Yes, the Royal Service, the Knave Service, the Page Service.
We've got their interests.
Was that Naval Gazing? The Knave Service and the Page Service. So are these all a list of services, not segments? They're
these are
services. Yeah. Carry on.
That's about as far as we've got.
Okay, very good. I don't ask you what you mean by that, but I will come back to that. Okay, this table.
We're struggling here to be honest.
Okay, just a menu of services. This is what we do here, with unique names. Any progress on Royal Naval's gazing? No,
right.
So can't top that. Okay, this table.
Oh, sorry. Well, we did a survey of all the clients to work out their demographic and their psychographic and all the rest of it. And so for the company, we discovered that actually a large proportion of them are gym junkies.
Monkeys.
Gym monkeys as well, apparently. And so we provide a financial fitness program.
Right, okay. Yes.
And there's a personal trainer service.
Right.
There's a coaching service.
Right.
And there's a treadmill service, which
very
is
good.
Amazing.
Now, these are all one menu of services given to... These are not segments.
These are
not
services.
Services.
And the full, the half and the small.
Very good. Okay. Very good. This isn't easy, is it? One of the... I'll just spend 5 minutes on the next page, but here's one of the important points. You think this is a piece of fun. Companies spend years and millions on trying to think of unique names. This is not a joke. This is worth hard money to you. Okay? This is trying to think of names that mean something to them, not to you, and yet convey a message. This isn't easy. Okay? Imagine how long Procter & Gamble spend on one silly, you know, detergent package to think of a new name. They spend forever. And they test it out and they get it wrong, and they spend another million, test it out again, get it wrong, until they finally find it flies off the shelves. Who here eats Minstrels chocolates? What were they called before they were called Minstrels? Because they never used to be called Minstrels.
All I know is they melt in your mouth and not in your hand.
Yes.
Rebels.
Now, there used to be an advert.
Yeah, they're called Treats.
Treats. They used to be called Treats.
So,
so you need to ask the question, why would a multi-million pound operation change something from Treats to Minstrels? It doesn't matter that we don't have the answer. It's the question that hurts. Why did they bother to do that? What is it about the next generation buying sweets and their parents that forces them to change the name from Treats to Minstrels? When you start asking questions like that as a business leader, because that's what you are, you're not an IFA, you're running a small business within which great financial planning is done. I'm not a financial planner, I'm a small business leader within which great financial planning is done. When you ask questions like that, you start creating high revenue and high fees. Because people have to be appealed to by the service names that you give. And you calling it the Fat Find service is just, I mean, it just has no value. Stuart, give me some of the names of your services.
The Rucksack Review.
Listen really carefully to this.
The Trusted Guide.
Tell them where you live. Tell them where you live and work, Stuart.
Kendal, near Lake District.
Okay.
So people move to Kendal because they like the lifestyle. So therefore, we've taken the lifestyle into the financial planning. So we've got the navigation service, the expedition service, the guide service.
Okay, so think about the mountains. Think about if you were going up to Lake District, you'd be doing a couple of things. You'd either be walking a lot, okay, or you'd be just lounging around. Most people traveling to the Lake District for holidays will tend to be walking. Those people who live in the Lake District are accustomed to that kind of activity, you know, the fell runners and everything. So Stuart just said, well, let's appeal to that, you know, the trustee guide service overall, and there's this, you know, it's the expedition service, and just appeal to them. And he found out, I mean, do they buy this stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah. First of all, it's a giggle in a workshop. Now it's really serious money because they love it. What started off as a joke.
I think when you have descriptions like that, people, the first thing they're going to ask you is, why do you call it that?
Absolutely.
And so then you explain the different services and they go, right, and they're going to fall into one of those and you've got them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So names are not something that Dave Scarlett throws into workshop because it's a bit of fun. Names are, to you, are worth a huge amount of money. I know we played with this last year, Arthur, and, you know, it's worth cracking. It really is. All right, turn over to the next page. So far you've got kind of got a bit of a menu for Jake and Tarquin. We're now on page 29. What we're going to do after lunch is you're going to, within a very brief period of time, you're going to create what's called the client journey. Huh? And what I've suddenly realised, Peter Lisney came up. Peter Lisney is my marketing consultant. We were talking about what I do for you. And he said, you know what, you need to recognise, David, there seem to be two phases to your relationship with these people. There's the launch phase where everything's very, very intense. Everything's intense. They want so much of you, there's not enough of you to go around. You know, and they're hammering your phone and, oh, sorry, it's not coaching day. I thought it was coaching day today. And then, you know, they're firing off hundreds of emails. What about this letter? Is this report okay? And is this okay? And what do you reckon about this? And then the relationship gradually calms down and quietens down, doesn't it, Kath? Yeah, just kind of, and they realise, I'm cruising now. Nice guy, but I'm cruising. I'm getting along okay. I just need to contact him less. And then he says you go into the orbit phase of your relationship. And I thought, that's a bit corny. Until I sat down and looked at what you do as financial planners, and I realised, oh, blimey. They do exactly the same. They have this intense, energy-packed, mind-bending, furious activity lasting for about 6 to 12 months, and then it all quiets down. And then you just keep tickling it and reviewing it and tickling it and reviewing it and reporting and tickling it. And you go into, I thought, got it. So why don't you communicate that to your clients, Mr. and Mrs.? What we do here is, but I have to tell you, there are different phases of our relationship. In the first year, we do this, and the second year and onwards, we kind of do this. And every now and again, it gets a little bit intense, and it quiets down again. There's a launch phase, and there's an orbit phase. And you know what? When I crack that in my mind, I suddenly realise this is worth a lot of money in fees. If you can communicate it correctly to the client, and they get it in seconds, you can charge what you otherwise could not charge for. And that's what we'll work on after lunch. So what I want you to do is just understand that we're going to work on what happens in the first year or so. I need you to recognise that the client's going through a really difficult journey with you. You know what? You're the biggest problem the client has. You force them to do so much work. It's hard. Like I'm forcing you to do today, look how tired you are. 1 o'clock. Who's on break? Well, you do the same to your clients. You make them go through questionnaires and, you know, rap platform procedures. It's just hard work. You're really hard work, you people. And you make them go through a mental and emotional journey. And we're going to look at that. And you need to understand, in that journey, there are actually three different stages. You need to make it visual, and some of you have done that brilliantly, and I need you to teach the others that haven't yet got there. And here's the question. All of this book is full of visuals. Look, all graphics. Very few lines of bullet points and words. Why do I do that? Have I got nothing better to do? It's because visuals communicate more value than words by themselves. And here's the word I want you to remember to take away from today. Here's what you're not yet good at, but are becoming better at. Try to communicate to your clients in frameworks. Frameworks. Look at the template beside you on the table. It's just a framework to allow you to think clearly, to ask questions like, where are we now then, David? What have we just done? What comes next? How am I supposed to be thinking? Frameworks. And what you're not yet good at as financial planners is you don't communicate in frameworks, and it's worth money.
Can I ask on that?
Yeah.
I know certainly there's another organisation that is very keen on PowerPoint presentations for new clients, where they present the sort of client journey to them.
Yeah.
To tell them what they're going to do. Do you advocate that? I would be interested to know if there's anyone here that actually does that.
You can get into death by PowerPoint doing that. So you need to be very careful, but you need to find some visual way of communicating frameworks so that your client's mind gets it quickly. Words are very confusing, but do it in frameworks and graphics and visuals.
Sorry, David, that's part of your program, isn't it, to sort of put together a client journey.
Yeah.
The discovery letter type concept, where you say, you know, the first appointment is getting to know each other.
Yeah.
The second one's we use the word strategy, but we don't use that on the leaflet.
Absolutely. So that's and after lunch, Steve, you and Jake and Tarquin as a team will be developing your client journeys. Okay? Let's grab some lunch.